have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 136 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film, TV, and sometimes games and comic books. I'm your host and co-host, Nicola.
And I'm co-pilot Chris.
And what are you going to be talking about in this week's very long, delayed episode?
Long-awaited, I hope.
Yes, long-awaited, yes, okay.
Right, we've got Home of the Hulks, where we're going to be talking about some of the things that we've been up to since last time. Not a lot. Watched a few movies and stuff.
We had a lockdown.
Good.
We're in season three, so yeah. good times. Party up in here.
We've got an interview with someone from
The Walking Dead, Well Beyond, Nicholas Canty, who plays one of the kids.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And we've got our Wonder Woman review.
Yeah, do. Sorry, I had to put that in there.
Which is going to be out on the day 16th. Before released.
Oh, yes. Yes. So it's going to be completely spoiler-free, but we're going to be talking about stuff that's in the trailers.
Yeah.
So just to give that a warning.
So if you're the kind of person that hasn't gone after any of the trailers, any of the posters or anything, you've avoided reading anything on it, maybe skip it.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's not going to have
come
any
back
kind of,
after you've seen after the film,
it, you know, it's not going to be spoiling any plot points or anything, so you're safe on that front.
Yes, indeedy. Okay, then, let's kick things off with Home of the Hulks. What have you been watching and doing and playing? And well, let's just point out that we probably haven't been doing very much because, as we said, it's been lockdown. We're in Tier 3. Can't really do much. But we have been getting into the festive spirit. So we've been doing lots of, like, wrapping with our candles, like Christmas-scented candles.
Doing a bit
stuff.
Of napping.
We've been writing cards, doing,
like... It's been quite festive, actually, hasn't it? We're going to put our tree up at the end of November. We kind of just decided, you know, we're going to have a longer period this year. We've been watching a few Christmas films, scented candles and stuff. Just getting into the festive vibes, really.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And what are the things we've been watching? So, like Christmas films, just quickly talk about them. We've been rewatching some of the Harry Potter films, and I've actually grown to like them a lot more. I mean, not that I didn't like them, but I appreciate them a lot more now. And I know everyone was like, Prisoner of Azkaban's like my favourite, and I was like, no. Chamber of Secrets and Goblet of Fire. But actually, watching it yesterday, I actually really like it now.
I've always kind of said I didn't love the second one, Chamber of Secrets, but. Yeah. I enjoyed the crap out of it. It's great.
Exactly. So. I keep forgetting about the whole Time Turner thing and Sirius Black and the... Yeah, it's just a really great plot.
That was the third one, right?
Yeah.
We're up to three. We're going to watch Goblet.
No, yes. I love Goblet. Although it makes me cry every time.
It's kind of a sad one. It's where it starts getting a bit more real. Yes.
Real.
not real,
because obviously it's not real. Or is it? Oh, and the Night Burst. That bit makes me laugh every time. That's great. Anywho, sorry. Obviously, Muppet's Christmas Carol. That was great. We've watched a few stinkers, haven't we? Let's be honest. Noelle wasn't great. Anna Kendrick was good. I did enjoy it.
You got to watch a few stinkers.
What was the other one? Holiday Date.
Holiday Date.
That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it.
But we're going to watch Die Hard next, I think.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's probably my favourite Christmas film.
Oh, and The Holiday. What's his name? He's such an asshole, laddie from A Knight's Tale.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I know you mean. Yes. Yeah, figured it out. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, and then what else have we been watching just generally? So, obviously, Mandalorian. What are you thinking about Mando? Mando's Nando's night is Mando. Our favourite night.
Mando's disco Mando Nando.
And game.
And
games. Gaming. Yeah.
Mando's, yeah. Mando?
Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still really liking it. There's definitely a bit of a...
Checkpoints.
Yeah, I think,
How did you describe it the other day?
Yeah.
Your analogy?
Okay. It's a bit more sort of...
Western. Yes.
So,
or samurai.
I kind of see it
saying,
like if you're on a little journey in your western lands to like Ratwater, you have to go through Sweetwater and...
Swamp water.
Yeah. Before you get to Ratwater, you know, it's like... It's kind of like a journey where you go places on the way.
And then you've got to feed the horse, you've got to get your itinerary.
You've got to get your water, your bed and...
Some guns and some upgrades.
Sure. Yeah, I think it works. I like it. It is a bit sort of formulaic, I guess, but I've never really had a problem with formulas. You know, once you find something that works, stick with it.
I just say, I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Yeah.
And I know Ben has issue with this kind of thing as well.
See.
I can totally see. But I just love this universe with these characters. Mm. And even if some of the episodes are a bit sort of episodic and fillers, I still just really enjoy it.
Generally, I really love story-heavy stuff, but this doesn't have a huge amount of story in it, does it? But it's very character-heavy and and world
building
vibes.
Yeah. It's interesting for me. I like this a lot more because not everything is like black and white in this series, whereas in like the original films, obviously you got Sith and you got Jedi and it's all very, very clear-cut and white, bad, sort of that kind of thing. Black and white, that's what I was looking for. But in this, it's kind of interesting how they're like more rogues and rebels, and that's why I kind of like that a bit more. Yeah. I feel like I appreciate it a bit more. And he's just wanting to find his son, damn it. And that's what I love. And I love how he calls him his son. I'm like, oh,
did he?
He did. Oh, he's like, you took my son or something, you know, in the last broadcast. And can we just talk about some of the cameos? I've been watching Rebels, which I forgot to say, sorry. And also a bit of Clone Wars. And it's great to see, like, the animated stuff kind of come into the wider universe. So that's really good.
If you say so.
I'm intrigued about who potentially... A quick spoiler alert here. That was more... It was supposed to be like... That was even more duck-like. You know what I mean. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see who heard... I was going to say Yoda then. Grogu's call. I wanted to know who comes to... Which Jedi comes. Because there's sort of a couple of fan theories. So it could be the guy from the game you played.
Okay.
Cal...
I've got to just say, this couldn't be less interesting to me. Like, I'll just experience
we'll
it.
We'll talk
when
about
it
this later. Do you not remember that game he plays with the guy from Goth? So BD1. It could be him. That could be interesting. And also, it could potentially be the guy from Rebels. So that would be quite good. Anywho, Chris is getting bored. So let's talk about Star Trek Discovery. Disco Disco, shall we?
Disco Disco.
How are you finding Discovery?
This season, I'm loving it. You're even this latest episode, I don't usually like. The kind of mirror universe.
Oh, I really love the mirror universe.
It's traditionally I just found it, but like, oh, I can't remember this. But
sorry.
Yeah, I just really like the angle they're coming at it from, like all the interstellar diplomacy stuff. That's
oh,
really,
you
that
love
is,
that episode,
that is Star Trek to me. There's a lot of that going on this season, which is very cool. They're going around sort of fixing people's problems and stuff, which sounds a bit kind of. Big-headed, but it's like they're it's genuine. It's coming from a place of genuine kind of like they're looking to help people, aren't they, and stuff. Which this is Star Trek for me, so I'm very happy that they've gone this route now. Feels like quite a big difference from like season one.
I think once they got in, kind of got rid of continuity and they could go into the future, they didn't have to include Spock and all those kind of characters.
Yeah.
Then they were much more free to tell their own story, which is great.
And the burn and stuff, really interesting.
Yes, definitely.
So,
and there's some interesting Easter eggs as well, isn't there? Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, some nice little references and stuff, right?
Yeah, which isn't like huge, huge, but it's nice to have them sort of in there every so often.
You don't want it to take over.
No.
But it's nice to have them in there.
Also, an interesting character in the latest episode. Was it a Q kind of character?
Yeah, that was weird. I like that they didn't really explain that so far.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, mystery.
What's going on now?
Okay, what else? So, Queen's Gambit. We haven't talked about this yet, but Netflix, it was a limited edition series. Is that the right? Limited edition card. An event series. Is that what they call them? Like, just a one-off. Yeah, something like that. I think there are like 8 episodes.
Limited series, not a limited edition series.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
What did you think of Queen's Gambit?
I loved Queen's Gambit. Grabbed me straight
away.
It was
about chess and it was
about
good.
It was about chess, what the hell? That was great, yeah.
Sorry, really chess fans.
It hooked me. It was great. I don't know what to say about it. Tell me what to say about it. It was great.
It's fantastic. Go and watch it.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think it's been one of the most watched shows on Netflix.
Well, then, you've already seen it, so you don't need us to tell you to watch it.
Exactly. So just go and watch it. As I said, I've been watching Rebels and Clone Wars. I think I'm on like halfway through season 2 of Rebels. I know I'm not watching it in canon. What's the word? Canonically.
Canonical order?
That's no,
chronological order?
Chronological order? Yeah, something to do with that. I know, obviously, there is a Nate is very good with knowing which ones to watch and whatnot. I know there's a specific...
Like if you want to watch it chronological, do you do it like this?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got a list, so...
Sure, okay.
And he's really do check that out.
There's like a mini-series before everything or something.
Yeah, there's like a little film, isn't there? Oh, I mean, like a film. I think you watch... Okay, so I'm pretty sure the gist of it is you watch the first 16 episodes of Clone Wars series, and then there's like a mini-film, and then you carry on, and then Rebels comes into it after.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of Clone Wars with you, didn't I?
Yes.
And I completely zoned out.
like, no. There was nothing... It was like the animation style for you, wasn't it? The
animation looked terrible. Sorry, but... Yeah, I don't think it's for me.
But Ahsoka is in that, so if you want to get a bit more background, do go and check that out.
It's fine. I'm happy for Mandalorian to give me all the information. Yes. I don't need to.
And we'll touch on this later, but she's getting her own show, so that's something kind of interesting. Okay, let's talk about the Disney Day. Let's just quickly... Oh my gosh, this was like Christmas for me. I know everyone loved DC Fandom, but this, I stayed up
this
till
was
like
a shareholder thing. Wasn't yes, it? It wasn't really like a... It wasn't supposed to be like some sort of convention. It's not like a convention type thing. No. Yeah, this was very much for investors, but it's still really well produced and stuff.
It was crazy well produced. The amount of content, they were like, bam, bam, bam. It was like, you know, Oprah, when she's like, you can have it. Yeah. You can have it.
Usually when I think of like investor calls, I'm thinking of literally like just someone talking on a phone call almost. Yeah, just saying like, about here profits are our numbers and profits and stuff. Exactly. But this was much more produced. Yeah, it was really good. Anyway, please continue.
Let's just quickly, briefly talk about. So Star Wars, there were, actually, right off the bat, they were like, there's going to be 10 new Marvel shows, there's going to be 10 new Star Wars shows within the next couple of years. And we were like, wow, what?
It was a bit of overload, honestly.
Yes. So let's quickly go through Star Wars.
They said like, they've got to produce 100 new bits of content a year or something.
I don't know. It was bonkers, wasn't it? It definitely sounds like Disney Plus is going to be much more interesting.
I mean, I think they've been doing well. So I'm hoping what they do is they just go, here's a show, we want you to do it, give it to like a really great creative. Yes. Just say, you got to run with it. And make you great and just don't intervene too much and anyway please
okay please stop yeah. Is that what you're gonna say please carry
myself
on.
Okay. Stop.
So let's talk about the Star Wars announcement. So the big one was Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins is coming to the Star Wars universe. She's doing the next feature film and it's going to be called Rogue Squadron. So it's about a new generation of starfighter pilots as they earn their wings and risk their lives in a boundary-pushing high-speed thrill ride and move the saga into the future era of the galaxy. Ooh, so there's
so this
no...
is going to be a women's thing as well, is it?
Or... I do not know.
But, I mean, that's cool. That's cool, I mean.
But yeah, I mean, she's fantastic. I love Patty Jenkins, so I'm very excited about this. It doesn't sound like there's any Skywalkers in sight, so that's kind
good.
Of exciting.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm done with Skywalkers now. Please don't.
So yeah, and there was a little video which was so much like Top Gun, which was fantastic. She was like rollerblading down like a airstrip. It was fantastic. It was so American. Go and check it out. It's great. Untitled Taika Waititi film.
Yay!
So he obviously directed some of The Mandalorian and those episodes were great. He also voiced the droid.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. And to see him do a Star Wars film is just very exciting, especially after Thor. So,
yeah.
Very excited for this one. So, Disney Plus series, talking about the shows now rather than the films. We've got Obi-Wan Kenobi, a couple more details for this. One of the biggest pieces of announcement was Hayden Christensen is back. And he's going to be doing Darth Vader. Now, from here on out, Chris is going to make noises every so often. Let's just get your general sort of... You're not hugely interested in the shows, are you?
Not in the show. I mean, Mandalorian, I love. They could be great. I'm definitely going to give them a chance. I just feel like Obi-Wan Kenobi, I didn't really even like... I'm sorry about this, but I didn't really like
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, but it's like fan favourite, isn't
it? Those aren't great movies. I mean... Come on. They're not, I mean, they're fine, I suppose. But I don't know if I want to see them again. Don't give me them again.
Interesting.
Sorry. Maybe they'll do something good with it. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, does it help that Deborah Chow is going to be helming this, who actually directed some of The Mandalorian? So, okay. Next one is, that's a maybe from Chris. I am excited. I like Ewan McGregor
We'll see.
Ahsoka is getting her own spin-off show. So there's going to be two spin-off from The Mandalorian universe.
Right.
Shows.
That's okay, I think.
Yeah.
Because Mandalorian's great. So exactly. As long as they maintain that kind of vibe.
Yes.
I think I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So it's going to star Rosario Dawson, obviously, who has appeared in The Mandalorian Season 2. Indeed. No spoilers there, I don't think. It's been a couple of weeks now. Also, it's going to be executive produced by Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau. So does that...
I mean, Jon Favreau is great. And I hear that Dave Filoni has got his, got his game on point. Yes. So that's cool.
Yeah. And then the other one set within the timeline of The Mandalorian is Rangers of the New Republic. And I feel like I need Dave, Ben and Nate to tell me more about this. Do not know much about this.
No, I don't like knowing things. I want to experience it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Just give me it. True. Let me experience it. And
make
then
it great. Wash over me.
Make it great. That's kind of how I feel with Mandalorian. I just kind of want to immerse soak it in.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's almost like a bath. I just want to bathe in Mandalorian, okay? I don't want...
That sounds very weird,
pretty weird. But I don't, I don't want to dig too deep into it and stuff. I've kind of gone off with that, to be honest. Okay. I just want to kind of... Sorry.
Okay, so Disney and Pixar, I mean, there's so much to go through, so let's just pick out our favourites. So we got four animated series. We got Moana. What?
Moana series, that's interesting. Yeah,
that's going to be interesting.
It's interesting. I wonder if they'll do it on the same kind of level as the film, though, or if it's going to be, might be more targeted, kind of very much children or something. I'm not sure.
Maybe we'll it'll be out. More of the pig and the chicken. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Tiana. So this is a, what's it called? Princess and the Frog, spin-off, which I feel like I need to revisit again because it's been a while since I've seen that. But that would be cool. It's going to be talking about sort of New Orleans. And I hope it's going to be sort of like a music sort of inspired series. Next we've got Zootopia Plus. Now this, I'm not so keen on this one.
It sounds like a Disney Plus kind of spin-off.
Yes, so it's going to be talking about like Real Mousewives.
Okay, so it's like little small stories or something.
Yeah, like Muppets, the new Muppet series that had like little segments in it.
Interesting. Not interesting at all.
Not interested in that one. I mean, Zootopia was good. But the big one for me, Baymax, yay! I love Big Hero 6 and I definitely need to watch it again, and I'm so excited we're getting more because I really loved San Francisco, I think it was called, because it was like that really cool sort of amalgamation between Tokyo and San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I just thought the sort of universe was really cool and they were just really great characters, and I love Baymax so much. He's so cute.
I enjoyed playing it in King of Cross 3.
Okay. Next up, Pixar, some of their animated series on Disney Plus. Doug Days. So Up, obviously you had Doug. Squirrel! The dog. And it's going to be about Doug. And I think he's got puppies. I remember lots of puppies. And he's like, I'm faster than the puppies. It's just really, really cute. Go check out the trailer. I'm all for this. What I'm not all for is Cars. Sorry. Let's just put it out there. Is that what
I was going to say the Toy Story spin-off.
Oh, yeah. Lightyear. This was the biggest announcement from the Disney stuff that I was like, oh my gosh. giddy. Absolutely giddy. Anyway, yes, this is about Buzz Lightyear, but not the toy. No. Oh no. It's about the story.
The toy was based
exactly.
On. That's really clever.
So, astronaut, voiced by none other than
Chris Evans. Wow.
And not the ginger Chris Evans.
No, that was
Captain America. So yeah, that is amazing. A couple of other things that they announced. There's going to be Sister Act 3.
Oh, that's exciting.
Which is very exciting.
I love those movies.
I don't know why it's not in this article. Gizmodo.
They messed up.
They also announced Hocus Pocus 2 for the top of the head. Sorry.
We'll stop.
Yes.
Shall we stop?
Yes, let's stop. Let's talk about Marvel quickly.
Oh, okay. We're not
sorry.
Stopping.
Sorry. I love this stuff.
Fair enough.
Feel my enthusiasm.
Bathe in my enthusiasm. Yes.
Bathe in the Mandalorian. So, let's just quickly run through this because... Oh, yes. Multiverse of Madness. So, Doctor Strange, they confirmed a couple of things. So Sam Raimi is going to be directing, who is Spider-Man legend. So that's going to be interesting. But the big story was America Chavez, aka Miss America, is finally going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Chris is now being like, what the hell is this? So it sets up a new sort of younger team because another announcement was, going off piece here, sorry, Riri Williams, aka Ironheart, is going to be also in the universe, get her own show. That's exciting. She's going to be sort of kind of taking on the mantle of Iron Man.
Okay.
But,
big one for you.
Miss Marvel. It was only like a sort of behind the scenes talk about it. But the big announcement, she's going to be in Captain Marvel too. Ah, I'm really excited about this. If you know the comics, you know that like Miss Marvel's favorite ever superhero is Captain Marvel. So she's oh my gosh, she's hilarious. Like she teams up with Captain Marvel and also like a Wolverine in the comics, and she's just like a fan. She's just like, I love you so much. Yeah, she like fangirls out, and then
does she have powers though.
She does, yeah. Okay, she has like elongated elastication and stuff. She gets bigger, and yeah, she's an Inhuman, so maybe they're gonna sort of tie that in with Eternals. I don't know. We'll see. Another interesting one. Samuel L. Jackson was rumoured to have his own series as Nick Fury, and he is, but he's going to be teaming up with Ben Mendelsohn's Skrull Talos, which I love those two. I think they're really great.
That's really great.
And they're going to be doing Secret Invasion. Now, this is a huge comic book event, so this is big news.
All
so,
about Skrulls and stuff.
Yeah, so they basically were sort of living undercover as some superheroes in the comic.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of weave this in, because it was kind of teased at the end of Captain Marvel, wasn't it? Oh, no, sorry, end of Spider-Man and one of the Easter eggs.
Yes.
Because Nick Fury was, like, up in space.
Yeah.
And Talos was pretending to be Nick Fury. But another big, closed off the whole presentation with...
Fantastic Four!
I guess he's directing it.
Someone.
John Watts, who's been doing the Spider-Man films. So I'm actually really excited about this. I think it's great. Good choice. He teased it in the last Spider-Man film. There was like a little Easter egg in there. So that's cool. And Spider-Man, in some of the newer comics, does he's friends with the Human Torch.
So it's kind of like almost like little mini universes.
Yeah. Sort
of things are connecting up, but not necessarily like wide.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, let's talk about Wonder Woman, shall we?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Onto the review.
Onto the review.
Diana, one day you'll become all that you dream of and more. And everything will be different. This world is not yet ready for all that you will do. You'll become a legend.
So Wonder Woman 1984 swings into cinemas on the 16th of December, and we were lucky enough to see a little preview. It also comes out, I think it will be on Sky in like a month later, and then obviously it's going to be on Warner Brothers streaming service in the US. But I think Sky will have the rights soon enough. So this is directed by Patty Jenkins once again, who previously did obviously the first outing back in 2017. How crazy is that? I didn't realise it was like 3 years ago. Stars Gal Gadot once more, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig, and Pedro Pascal.
Indeed.
So Chris, what were your initial thoughts about Wonder Woman 84 going in and then sort of coming out?
Right, well, I didn't love the first movie, to be honest.
I had
some issues with it. I didn't feel like the character was made to be powerful enough, skilled enough. Like, she had powers, but I didn't feel like she was skilled enough. And I had issues with some of the way, like, the Themyscirians were portrayed and stuff like that. So,
which was worse than Justice League, can I just point out?
Was it? Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I thought that as a character she was better in Justice League. She felt a bit more rounded out and like...
Well, she was a bit naive in the first one, wasn't she?
Yeah. And you have explained that to me and it does kind of make sense now I look back at it. But, you know, so there's that. But I was quite excited about this one because I've seen some of the trailers and stuff and the whole lady...
Oh my gosh, the posters.
Oh,
Alexa wants to join.
Alexa's joining in. some of the visuals and stuff, all the 80s kind of vibe and the like armour and things intrigued me, especially given some of my misgivings about the first one. And yeah, I was kind of hopeful, I guess.
Okay.
Going into
Just a slight theme throughout this film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you say?
It's true. So yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. I really found it to be I didn't find it to be pretentious at all. Like I find some of the kind of DC movies have that kind of vibe, I'm sorry. But less so lately. So that's good.
Yep.
And I feel like I feel like this was more of a Shazam type film to me than it was maybe a never mind. So,
what were you going to say? I'm intrigued. Which one?
It's like a Zack Snyder movie kind of one.
Okay.
Just saying. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of it was very hopeful, and I really enjoyed it, and I liked it. It had a nice uplifting kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what we need right now, I think.
Yeah.
I think DC are continuing to win at their current
strategy. Yes.
Yes. Let's say that. Okay. How about you, Nicola?
Yeah. I love Wonder Woman, so I was super excited about this. As you said, the posters looked great. I mean, the marketing campaign was fantastic, and I was sold on it even before I watched it. I know there was a bit of controversy in DC fandom when they released the first look at Cheetah, and we'll go into that a bit later. But I think she looked pretty good. And I loved Kristen Wiig, actually. She really surprised me in this film. Coming out of it, I absolutely adored it. I think it was great. There are problems, which we'll talk about later. Not to give it, you know, there are faults with it, and that's fine. But yeah, it was just
interesting.
I just think it was just really hopeful and just so heartwarming, and all the emotions, and there was this really sort of emotional journey with Diana, and she just felt more like the Diana we know, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I really don't know much about Wonder Woman, if I'm just being completely honest. So, like,
get that off your chest. Into
the comic books or anything. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm going from this from a kind of a very normie kind of standpoint, I think.
Looking at it from fresh eyes, sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's kick things off with story. What did you think about the story then, Chris?
Right. Well, I want to start at the intro.
Okay.
Okay, because I feel like this is where it won me over straight away, really.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, the previous film had a similar kind of... It started in Themyscira, didn't it?
Yes.
Not to give too much away, but I liked that they felt much more... It's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay. I liked that they felt much more like athletes straight off the bat. They felt like strong women.
Like Greek sort of warriors. Yeah,
had that Greek vibe, which I love.
Olympic sort of thing.
Yeah, and they looked the part. Yes, I didn't definitely. Feel like
they were wearing trousers.
They were wearing trousers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not that you have to wear trousers if you're a woman.
And it introduced the character better than the first one, I thought, because it kind of tells you, like, she's powerful.
Mm.
She's got the skills, you know.
She's got the drive. She wants it.
She's got the drive. But there's still a bit of an Achilles heel there. Like,
she's still a bit young. And can I say that actor was amazing? The little girl. Very good. Sorry.
Very good. Yeah. No, that's what I bought. Just at the start. And I like that because it introduces the character much better, I felt. And then that continues to happen throughout the film. Like, you get that sense of growth.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it kind of highlighted the point of the film right at the start, didn't it? And the sort of morals and the sort of journey that she goes on.
Agree.
And it's all right at the start, and I just love how it sort of interweaves throughout, and Jenkins has done a really great job with this, I think.
Indeed.
Okay, pacing. What did you think of the pacing? To me, there were sort of three distinct acts in this.
Okay, go on.
So it started off quite strong, but then I feel like it kind of lulled in the middle a bit, and then it kind of picked it up at the end, shall we say. There was a kind of typical, you know, sort of hero narrative. They all sort of have that kind of, you know, in the third act, it's a big battle sort of thing.
Right, I actually thought they lessened that a little bit, which I liked. I didn't feel like there was too much of a battle. I didn't feel like there was any kind of... I didn't feel like they elongated it out too much, that it was just a long fight scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like that. And I did feel like it flowed really nicely.
Mm.
Good pacing. I felt it was pretty standard, typical, like, hero story, I felt.
Yep.
But I don't have a problem with that. I think that works really well.
Because it is a superhero film, that's what I suppose, it is, right?
Yeah. It didn't try to mess with the formula too much.
Yeah.
And I felt like it felt honest. It felt nice.
Yeah.
I liked it.
The thing about this film that set it apart from most of the films, I feel like she really connected to the villains, and they felt very human, and they felt very real.
I liked the kind of faith angle as well. Like, it wasn't religious, but it was about having, like, faith in people and stuff.
Yes, yeah. And humankind.
There was a lot of hopefulness.
Yes. Which is what we need right now, right?
Yes.
That
kind of people can put aside their wants.
Yeah.
Their desires and be better.
Mm.
Very cool.
Okay, so runtime. it was 2 hours and 30 minutes. Did you think it dragged at all?
I didn't think it dragged at all. I was having a great time.
Wow.
I didn't realise. I was surprised when you told me it was that long, actually.
Really?
I thought it was just a standard length movie. So.
Okay.
What about you?
For me, I felt it was a little bit too long.
Okay, interesting.
And there were a few bits where I did sort of...
zone out a little bit.
Only a teeny tiny bit.
Okay, interesting, interesting.
I think for me it was sort of the Maxwell Lord parts that weren't quite as interesting as Tita, potentially.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that a bit later.
I like both their characters.
Okay, well, let's talk about characters and performances then, shall we?
Shall we?
Shall we?
Shall we?
So, yeah, why don't we talk about villains? So we had Kristen Wiig as Cheetah / Barbara Minerva, and Pedro Pascal as Max Lord.
Max Lord.
Yes.
Interesting name, very powerful. Yeah, I really like how they came, the characters-wise, I really like how they came from a place of sort of insecurity.
Yeah.
And that kind of defined their villainy. It wasn't that they were just psychopaths.
Like, ha, 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 moustache twirling, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a much more... I mean, they've done this a lot lately, I feel, so it's not completely new. But they've done it really well, and they've done it really well in this as well. They come from this place of insecurity. They have these messed up sort of childhoods, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And that determines what their desires are, which is very central to this movie, yes. Shall we say. So, yeah, very nicely done, I thought. And good performances. I really like Kristen Wiig and Pedro. Pascal.
I just, when he kept talking about his son, I was like, Grogu! I need to get my son.
Man, we need to do like a little clips of him, but instead of the kid, it's Grogu.
He looks so different though without his like beardy beard, didn't he?
Beardy beard.
And like blondish hair.
I think it, yeah.
It really added
the 80s vibe.
Yes, definitely.
And it definitely, yeah, he did a good job of the kind of slightly crazy kind of
yeah, cheesy sort of
cheesy,
yeah, yeah, personality type, you know, the media personality sort of thing.
I
love both of them. I think for me Kristen Wiig was potentially one of my favorites, actually. And what I loved about her was I really felt for her and really aligned to her, and yeah. I really liked her, and to see her go down that sort of path, I was like, no, don't do it, sort of yes. thing, because she was so lovely at the start, and I feel like I could kind of, what's the word?
You would have been best buds with her.
Yeah, probably. I mean, she fell over all the time, she dropped stuff, I was like, oh, we won't be friends. And it was just, I loved her relationship with Diana as well, and that was really sweet, I thought. And Diana was great in this because she just had the sort of humanity that a lot of heroes don't. And how she showed her compassion, and they became friends, and they were both lonely, and that's what kind of brought them together, and I just thought that was really nice. And I think she kind of stole some of the scenes, actually. I was very surprised by Kristen Wiig. Normally she's just like a comedic character, isn't she? But in this she was very impressive.
Indeed, I would agree.
So, let's talk about Chris Pine and Gal Gadot. What did you think of these two in this film?
Yes, I was wondering how the hell they were going to bring them into this. And they do it in a very interesting way. And it was a bit like, what's going on at first? But then it kind of made sense. And so that was fine. And sorry about the stream of consciousness here. Yeah, and I thought that he was very well used in this. Much better than perhaps in the first one.
Yeah.
And he really... He kind of supported Diana's role much more than...
Yes, which was, I feel like it should have been in the first film, maybe.
Yes.
Yes.
Agree.
Okay.
That's not, we can't say too much.
No. Gal, what did you think of Gal?
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really believed her in this one more than the first movie, although I did think that she was better. We've already talked about that. So that's fine.
I thought she was kind of a bit bitter, didn't you?
Yeah. But I just, in terms of her, well, maybe... Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like her and Batman were sort of like bitter together sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I think looking back now, it's probably not an amazing movie, and everyone else is right about that and stuff, but...
Anywho...
I didn't say it was amazing in the first place, to be fair. Anyway, sorry.
I thought she, as I said before, she had a really great emotional arc, and it was just a really great journey. And I loved how they brought more of the sort of artifact sort of elements into this. Because obviously she was an archaeologist, is that the right? She worked at the Smithsonian, didn't she? And they brought a bit more of that into it, which I loved. That was good.
You got a bit of that kind of 80s movie kind of explorer kind of vibe, maybe?
Yeah. Okay, so look and feel of the film. What did you think, Christopher?
So, I mean, the first thing that kind of hits you about, it's got a very 80s vibe. That's the first thing that you kind of notice after the intro sequence, which isn't in the 80s. Why have I messed this up so much?
I love the Themyscira bit. I know we said that before, but it just looks so good as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to watch Gladiators now.
Kind of ancient Greek stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, and the kind of Colosseum almost kind of... the games kind of area.
Yeah, I want to see more of that. Can we have like a series just of that? That would be great, please. Yeah, thank you. Maybe there is one. I don't know. but yeah, the 80s style was fantastic. Oh my gosh, some of the suits. There's this amazing scene, which I know is in the trailer, where Chris Pine tries on all these different outfits. That tickled me. I thought that was great.
It looks great for that period.
Yeah.
But it also allows the movie to have a kind of 80s cheesy? Movie cheesy vibe.
Yeah.
Which I love. I think that really works well.
Because it worked in Shazam, didn't it? That was kind of cheesy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But cheesy fun, not cheesy cheesy, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. I think having the 80s setting makes it land a bit better.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel out of place.
Yeah.
And it's okay going back to that kind of style. It works for me.
Yeah, there were some great bits as well. There was like a box with IBM on it. I mean, the phones are humongous and the computers were giant as well. And
well, they were just tiny, but they were fat. They were, like, ugly. True. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they're just, it's the width, isn't it?
At one point, he's like, I can get you a brand new, like, 19-inch TV.
Yeah.
So
like, wow. Like,
top of the line. Yeah. Incredible. Bless.
But yeah, there were lots of sort of throwbacks to the Linda Carter era, which was good.
Yeah.
She used the tiara. Neil was talking to me after it and
I didn't know the tiara was a thing.
No, I didn't either. I feel
Is this a spoiler?
I'm pretty sure it's in the trailer. There's a couple of new powers in this that we've seen. You know, with the lightning, that was in the trailer as well. Okay. There's a couple of things. Apparently Neil was saying the lockpick, that was a very Linda Carter thing. Because you were like, what?
Lockpick?
She opens like a lock or something and you're like, is this significant?
Okay, no.
Okay.
Sorry.
But yeah, there were some great bits. Obviously, he explored the lore a little bit more, explored more of her powers, which was great. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about cinematography for a little bit. It looked fantastic, as you said, but there were some gorgeous, gorgeous scenes when they're flying. That's in the trailer with the fireworks. That was very romantic. And the action sequences, they're really, really good as well. There's a couple of bits where it is a bit VFX heavy.
She seems
to not touch the ground very much.
Yeah, that made me chuckle. Yeah. It felt like she was very light on her feet.
Indeed. Wires!
Wires. That was fine, though. I mean, there was a few moments as well where, like, the physics felt a bit weird, like, a bit janky. Like.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, okay.
It's fine. It's the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. It's the 80s.
It felt, for me, very Superman in some places as well.
In terms of the feel, like, the kind of hope vibe?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And there were Hans Zimmer's score, again, fantastic. Hans! I love Zimmer. I think he's absolutely fantastic. There was a moment where it did, again, feel very Superman with even the score. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And this may be a little bit controversial. And me and Chris have talked about this before. And I am sorry. But this kind of feels like what Superman should be like.
Yeah.
At the moment. Because, again, it's quite dark previously.
I agree with that.
But yeah, definitely, like at the end of Justice League, you know, in the post-credit scene where he was racing the Flash, that's more Superman I want.
Okay. They're sort of restarting everything, aren't they? Kind of giving everything the right vibe for that specific
character
yes. or story or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Let's just quickly talk about costumes. So, Golden Eagle costume. We can talk about that because it's in the trailer.
Sure.
What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked the idea of it because she's actually got some armour on, which is nice. But something I didn't really realise in the first film, I guess I'm not sort of super au fait with the character or anything, but she is sort of bulletproof, right? She so, can just look good.
Yeah.
It's kind of okay.
It's kind of aesthetic.
So I kind of tell you, I'm going to backtrack on that a little bit from my kind of initial reviews of the previous film. But
she does kind of bring up a backstory with the armour, which kind of gives it a bit more oomph, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And also, she's perhaps not super bulletproof in this movie, which is a nice touch, I think. It gives her a bit more humanity and a bit more
vulnerability.
Yeah.
What did you think of Cheetah?
Cheetah was very cool. I liked Cheetah. I feel like they kind of toned it back a bit from like the initial shots we maybe saw.
I think maybe she was a bit more human in the face.
In this one,
definitely.
Than previously. Maybe they were just testing it out before. They were like, do you guys like this? Is this okay? And people were like, well, meh. Yeah. So, yeah.
They're like, oh, we'll do a Sonic quickly.
Yeah, change it a little. Just change some details. That's quite clever how they do that. I feel like that happens in a lot of movies. Just throw a few like sequences out there and just see how people respond. Yeah, I really liked her. I liked her arc and her kind of growth.
Yes. Also, I think so. Some of the costumes were great. I love what Diana was wearing as well. Some of the costumes were great.
Yes.
Even Kristen Wiig looked fantastic as well. I loved it how they were like, oh, she looks amazing. I'm like, she doesn't look that different. She took her glasses off and maybe, patted her hair again. Yeah.
Makeup on.
Exactly. Sure. They always do that. Oh, they've taken the glasses off. They're not a geek anymore. Yeah. I'm like, wow, how rude. So rude. I quite like glasses, okay? Yes, I think that's pretty much everything we can say. So do you want to rate this?
Sure, I give it 2 thumbs up. Really enjoyed it. Better than the first one for me.
Good.
So, yeah, 2 thumbs up.
Okay.
Looking forward to more.
I would give this 2 thumbs up as well. As I said, there are problems. It's not perfect, and that's fine. I think that's kind of part of the movie's message anyway, if that makes sense.
Do you want to talk about problems? You might have said at the start that you wanted to talk about
problems. Thought the pacing was a bit off in some sections, and it was a bit slow, and possibly something to do with Kristen Wiig's character, but we'll talk about that at some other point if we ever do a spoiler.
Okay.
Thing.
Sure.
Yes.
Not something I noticed.
Okay. But yeah, I absolutely loved it. So if you do get a chance, I think it's a very good Christmas film, actually. The messages are there.
Yeah.
So if you can, and it's safe, in your tier, go to the cinema.
Right.
To see it. Otherwise, hopefully it'll be out on Sky in the UK. So that'll be good. Definitely would recommend it if you can watch it on Sky.
We're 10 years in now. 10 years. And the dead still have this world.
You really think the world's gonna end?
I know it is.
Our dad's in trouble.
We have to help him.
To die, we could live.
So, welcome Nicholas, aka Alton from The Walking Dead World Beyond. So first question, what was the audition for the role like? Because I, for some reason in my head, I'm imagining like zombies and empties walking around. Are you sort of having to run? Was it that active or was it just sort of a table read?
It's funny that you thought of it that way because it almost felt like it had nothing to do with The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
It was very secretive because they just made sides for the audition of the character, so it wasn't anything from World Beyond specifically. And Elton was under a different name. I was reading for a character named Miles, and I think they just did that to keep some secrecy. But the scene was Elton basically was talking to almost like a counselor or a therapist about an altercation he got into with a school bully. And so he kind of used his karate skills to hurt him a bit, and he was just kind of, you know, talking about that with this therapist character. And it was very interesting because, I mean, I read that it was Walking Dead, and when I read the scene, I was like, oh, this is almost nothing like Walking Dead. And I was like, oh, it's because they're, like, doing some secret stuff. I'm not supposed to know what the actual thing is. But it was a really fun audition.
Definitely. And so Alton's such a quirky and sort of interesting character. I mean, with the suits and, I mean, just the random, like, knowledge he has. Did you manage to slip any sort of improvised lines in at all?
Yeah, I remember in episode 3, we're stuck on a roof and we're all looking over Hope, who has gone ahead and tried to man a siren for us to escape this blaze of fire. And I remember, I'm trying to remember the line. So Elton's coming up with a plan. He's kind of like the plan maker of the group. And so he's trying to think of a way that everybody can make it out of this horrible situation alive. And he and Iris have a little bit of an argument about whether or not he's sending in somebody as bait or not.
Okay.
So the original line was supposed to be, no, it's not bait. It's more like a diversion. We're trying to, you know, distract the empties. But I thought it would be funnier if I just said, no, it's not bait. It's more like, no, yeah, it's totally bait. It's bait. But I'm not trying to do anything. And that actually made it into the episode. So I was very happy that that was an improv line that they picked. I was proud of that.
Nice. So the group have, like, such a great on-screen dynamic. How did you guys create such a great bond?
I mean, we just really explored Richmond together. That's where we were filming. And so offset, we would just hang out, you know, go to the malls or the restaurants that were just around there in the city. And I mean, we hit it off almost immediately. I remember it was kind of staggered the way we all got to Richmond because I think I was there first. And then I think the girls arrived, Alexa and Aaliyah, and then Hal was last or something. And so once we were all finally together, we actually did improv exercises. That was like one of the first things I did with Aaliyah and Alexa. That was like how I met them. And so when you're doing, I mean, improv exercises are so crazy and kooky. So when that's the first thing you're doing with someone, it really opens you up. It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah. And I mean, you and Hope obviously have a bit of a complicated relationship.
I would say it as such, yeah.
A little bit awkward. How is it filming those scenes together?
I mean, it's great. I really like doing scenes with Alexa because it's just, I mean, we play off of each other so well. So whenever we do have that kind of awkward dynamic, I really thrive in that. I've had such a fun time playing Elton, who's kind of like a quirky, awkward character, because that's, I don't know, some of my favorite scene work to do. So those scenes are very fun to shoot.
Yeah. And what are the empties / zombies like in real life? I mean, is it just weird people dressed up and with the prosthetics on just walking around set? Or?
At first, it psychs you out because, I mean, it looks so great. We still have Greg Nicotero doing all the empty designs. And so, you know, he's the best in the business and he's making these things look visceral and gross and awesome. And so when you're walking around on set, at first it was like, oh, wow, that looks real. And then it was like, oh, that's a real person. But then you think of it like, man, the craftsmanship that goes into that. Then you start thinking of it like an art piece. And it's like, no, that dude's just wearing a costume. But it's very cool. It's an interesting set. Not everybody gets to go to work with zombies. It's fun.
True, exactly. And it's just weird because they're just so slow.
Yeah, I mean, they're walkers. They're not like runners or like sprinters. Thank God, because I bet, you know, the survivability rate in the apocalypse would be way lower. But, you know, they just shamble around.
Yeah. So what would you say your biggest highlight from your experience with the show has been? Because I was actually at New York Comic Con last year, and you guys had this huge panel. I mean, it was like a Walking Dead extravaganza, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, that was definitely a highlight for sure. That was my first panel for anything ever. And so I was, you know, just thrust into the world of The Walking Dead just right there. And it was a very warm welcoming. I mean, it's scary to like be behind the stage and be like, all right, so we're going to be up next. We literally have never showed anybody what we're working on. It's like, it's very nerve wracking. But when we came out there, the fans were so warm and welcoming. And it felt like I was being greeted into like a new home. It was awesome.
What can you tell us about the rest of the series? Is there anything you can tease? Will Alton finish the manuscript at all?
Well, I mean, you know, we're still on our journey. We're still trying to find the girl's dad, and we're, you know, we're just making our way. We're still learning a bunch of new stuff. But of course, the last episode ended with was it 5 or 6? 6 just aired.
Six,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm behind. Yeah. So six just aired. So if I remember correctly, we got these brand new characters,
yeah.
Percy and Tony. And Scott Adsit was playing Tony there, and I had a couple scenes with him. So he was super duper fun to be on set with. And you can look out for the relationship growing between him and Elton. Tony and Elton get together for the next episode, and they have a fun time just, you know, surviving. Maybe there's magic involved with Tony's past. Maybe he's like a performer or something. So there's some cool Elton. There's a cool new friend for Elton to look out for.
I just love the bit where he like zoomed in the car and like ran the empty over. That was funny.
Oh yeah, it was such a fun episode, that one. It was so cool. All the set pieces were great for the action.
Yeah, I mean, do you guys have like a contest where you have like best zombie kill, you know, like Zombie Land?
Oh man, we didn't have that this season, but hopefully next season we get something like that going. And honestly, that's all up to like chance. It's just whatever Matt gives us, whatever zombie kill he wants to write into the show for us, we'll just take it. But I don't know, maybe we could get some input in later, just like maybe suggestions for cool zombie kills, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to talk to you about the Civic Republic. What's your take on the Civic Republic?
I don't trust them, man. I don't know. Ever since the very beginning, I was like, oh, we're going to learn more about these guys. That's good. But they're like probably shady. I wouldn't imagine they would build these guys up. So, I mean, in the way that they have and be like, oh, no, they're good guys. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And I mean, we see it at the very beginning of our show when they kind of decimate our campus. So, I mean, they've proven that they're really not to be trusted. So I don't know if we should go, you know, trusting them all the time.
The thing I really, really love about this show is like you have these really interesting sort of post-credit scenes. And what do you think, there is going to be a zombie cure? That's one thing that really intrigues me about the series.
It seems like that's what they're working on, right? I mean, those end credit scenes are cool. I agree with you, but they're so cryptic. Like, I would read them in the script and I'd be like, okay, so that was cool, but I don't know what that meant. And I'm still like that. Like, I still am just completely lost. But there's a bunch of cool theories and like all these, you know, lore keepers just like cracking the codes. And it's fun to see them like put together the puzzle. I mean, I've seen every episode as well. They sent every episode to the cast, so I was able to actually watch the whole series, I think, back in like September is when they sent them. So I've seen every episode and I've seen like all the story come together. It's incredible. I can't wait for people to see the finale.
So you're just reading like the Reddit boards and saying,
It's a fun little activity to do. When I was on set, I would look at the Reddit boards a lot because people were just, they didn't know what it was. They were like, all right, so I think this show is going to have like Clementine from the Walking Dead games because it's about kids. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to Matt and like suggest that because that would be awesome.
Yeah. So just talking about OG Walking Dead series, which character would you pick to defend you from zombies?
Ah, man, there's so many great like questions here in the Walking Dead universe with like, you know, who would you have as your partner? Like, who would you use as your like gym teacher? Like, I don't know, like just a bunch of relationships with characters from the other shows. But I would say the best zombie killer is probably Daryl. I think Daryl means business. If I wanted to not die, I think Daryl would be my partner.
That's a good shout. And if you could have anyone from the universe cameo in obviously World Beyond, who would you pick?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying right now is not like, you know, what's happening. It's just like my little dream. But I don't know. I feel like it would make sense to have Rick. I mean, we're talking about the CRM. So, you know, that's where my mind goes immediately. So I would probably say Rick.
That would be amazing. Definitely. And obviously during lockdown, are there any TV shows or films you've discovered that you particularly enjoy at all? Any hidden gems?
I just finished watching a Barry on HBO, and that's been out for a little bit, I think, but that's with Bill Hader, and that's such an incredible series. I love that show.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it, but for some reason, it slipped me by.
You haven't seen it?
No.
You gotta watch it. He's a hitman turned actor.
Oh,
it's really, yes. Really interesting. It's such a fun concept, and they just play with it throughout the episodes. It's so great.
So, final question. What is your next project, obviously, world permitting?
Right. I mean, I really, it's just been super slow with COVID and everything. But I mean, like a few days ago, I just booked a guest star role on filming a new project. And that's the first time I'm going to be on set with all the, you know, COVID-19 precautions. So I'm interested to see how it's going to play out.
That's going to be interesting. Do you guys know when you're starting to film the second series?
Unfortunately, no, but I mean, Matt's been trying really hard to, you know, I mean, get that going, and it's just about, you know, making sure it's safe to go back to set as soon as possible. But we've heard like January and dates like that, but I mean, it's not set in stone. I mean, back in September, we heard like maybe October, and October's long gone and we haven't started filming. So
yeah.
We never know. We don't have anything set in stone yet, but I hope it's soon because I miss the Walking Dead family.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This was a blast.
Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Really hope you go and see Wonder Woman 84 if you can.
Yes.
With London and
or watch it on TV.
Or watch it on TV.
When available.
Yes, exactly. So if you'd like to get in contact with us, how do they get about doing it? Just to let us know what you thought of like the announcements from Disney, what you thought of Wonder Woman, anything. It's like a nice natter.
Indeed. Well, we're on Facebook and Instagram at We Have a Hulk Pod.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on Twitter at We Have a Hulk. We lost our at We Have a Hulk Pod.
Yes.
Count, unfortunately. So we lost all of our 8,000 followers. So if anyone knows how to get one of those back, that would be helpful. Please get in touch with us.
Yes.
You know, if you work at Twitter or something, that would be cool. Because it seems impossible to get in touch with someone at Twitter.
A human person rather than a robot.
just automated replies, which are not helpful at all. So, yeah, that's how you do that. Please let us know if you know something.
Yes. Yeah, I hope everyone has an amazing Christmas if we don't do another podcast beforehand. Yeah, and just hope it's full of lovely festive games. And we didn't talk about games. We were playing Cyberpunk and Miles Morales, haven't we?
Yeah, so I got Cyberpunk, so I've been slowly playing through that. I just got to the intro sequence. So it took me
it was like two days to get to that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't play too much in that time. But it's quite enough time to go there. But I'm enjoying it so far. You also had Miles Morales.
Oh, I love this game so much. I love the first one, and this is much more... like a different sort of style in a way. It's a lot more sort of music based, and you can do like tricks while you're sort of swinging along and stuff. Yeah, I really like it. I'm really enjoying it.
Cool.
So yeah, we're going to be talking about what our next steps are with We Have a Hulk, I think, over Christmas and the new year. So there might be a couple more changes coming next year, but we'll talk about them once we've had a discussion.
Once we've thought it through, yes. Made a plan.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let us know. Do you like the format as it is now? Do you want us to do more podcasts?
Which is your favourite section, if anything, you know? And what would you like to see more of, that kind of thing?
Do you like them every 2 weeks, every month, that kind of thing?
Sure.
Yeah, let us know. Please do get in touch.
Yes. There are no wrong answers. So.
Yes, thank you once again for listening to the episode. As I said, do have a nice Christmas and a new year, and we'll see you in 2021. And hopefully it's please a bit more positive and we can get to see you guys some more. So that'll be nice. So yeah, onwards and upwards, as they say.
Indeed.
Thank you very much. Hope to see you next time.
Bye.